With his short passing, he can run with the ball. Yeah, he's looking on fire this season. I've been really impressed with him as well. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, sorry. Hey, everybody, we're back. We're just I was just me and David chopping it up a little bit about the Liverpool City game from what was it last weekend? That was oh man, what a game! One of the Premier League classics of recent years, and that was, I mean, ended in a draw, but I was still very happy with the performance. And anyway, that was, I hope you guys got to tune in because that was a great game to watch. But that is not the topic for this week. This week, we are going to talk about the use of video and video analysis in soccer at different levels. David's going to share some really good insight with us about how he uses video at his club, EF Sylvia in Sweden. And he's been studying video and you know, analyzing video for years now. And I've sat in hundreds of sessions, you know, analyzing games over the season, or not myself, but, you know, watching film on games that I played in. So yeah, this will be some good insight, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what David has to say. So anyway, good morning to you, David. How's it going, man?
Yeah, all good, Eddie. Will be a good episode, this, I think. How are you doing? I know you played a game recently to revive your career maybe again. So can you tell us a little bit about that, and how are you feeling after it?
Oh, well, that, yeah, how I'm feeling after, that's a tough subject, man, because recovery is not, it's not getting any easier as you get older, I'll tell you what. But yeah, it's it's still fun to get out there and knock it around. I'm fortunate to play on the team with a bunch of players who played Division One soccer here in the U.S., which is a good level of soccer. It's you know, you can actually play football. You can knock it around, and I'm such like a patient player. I play so simple, you know. So like, I rarely give the ball away because I just play like the simple, you know, 5-10 yard passes. Yeah. And so I get like so frustrated when we do give the ball away, but I'm like, ah, oh, come on, man. Like, let's just keep it. Let's just work it around. But, you know, this is everyone. That's everyone's time to, you know, live out their glory days. So I can't blame them. But yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. But career is definitely not getting revived, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah. But and also we're not filming those games, so there's no video analysis afterwards. But,
there's no video analysis of that league. Okay.
It's probably a good thing, to be honest. But anyway, yeah, I'm interested to just kind of be a spectator in this, or a listener rather, in this episode, just because I know that your experience with Sylvia has you know, really like kind of puts you in the place that you need to be as a coach. I think Division One in Sweden is a good level for you right now, and I'm sure you'll be a head coach of a team there very soon, if not higher. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on video analysis and how it's been used, and how you can how coaches can really get the most out of watching video and presenting video to their team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but like when we think about video analysis, I think it's important to just look at some of the pedagogical benefits of using it. I mean, there's so much that you can learn as a player from just, you know, normal training, that when like coaches showing you practical examples, discussing different things on the pitch, and then you get like information like from the coach on the pitch. And I mean, that's obviously helpful. That's basically the essence of coaching. And you can get these explanations of what you need to do and what you could improve and what you've done well, both practically, like showing with your body, and like also in terms of auditive information that people tell you. And I mean, that's all good. And that's all good and well. But a lot of people, like when you have a team with different individuals and then people learn in different ways. And that's like one of the big pedagogical discussions I think you could have in any context where you're acting as a teacher, whether it's a classroom, whether it's a training session, whether it's some kind of education at work, in a workplace. But what you need to keep in mind is that you can't just expect everyone to learn in the same way. So if you as a coach, if you don't have access to video, that's fine, then you work with what you've got. But it's always better to be able to mix up the information you give to players. So if you can use video to aid the development of players and aid the development of a team, it provides visual explanations aside from these practical and auditive that I discussed just a minute ago, to hopefully help more people grasp what you're on about. So I think video analysis, like video in general, is a fantastic tool, whether you use it to analyze training sessions, whether you use it to analyze games or upcoming opponents, because it will make most of the time things clearer for your players. So imagine you go out to play against an opponent that you haven't played before, but due to having video, you can familiarize your players with the team you're going up against, and then just basically show them how you're going to play them. When you evaluate one of your own games, you could, if you don't have access to video, but you have a sharp mind and you remember details from the game, you can bring those up in like a meeting afterwards on the next training session and show the players what you're on about. But using video can actually show them so they can see it visually. And I think that's a fantastic tool to use. And also, like, something I've found very beneficial since being at basically every time I've had a chance to video games, whether I was as an academy coach at Boden or whether it's now as an assistant at Sylvia, is that your evaluation of a game can be very different if you only watch it as it happens and then you just move on and you can't see it again, or if you watch it as it happens on the day and then you watch the video. So I'll give you an example. We had a game the other day. We're in a kind of a tough run of results. We're playing quite well in most games, but we haven't been able to take the chances we create, and we concede some cheap goals, which we're very disappointed with. But that's how it is right now. And then we had a game on Saturday where we felt we underperformed, and we had a first half we weren't happy with. We had a second half we thought was, you know, slightly better, but not as good as it needed to be. And then we spoke with the players after the game. Everyone's quite emotional. We're like, we have to do better and stuff. And then we go home. And the next day I watched the game back, the recording of it. And the second half that we thought, yeah, it was slightly better, it's actually really good, because basically we play the full 45 minutes in the opponent's half. We create 4 or 5 or 6 really good chances. And basically we stop every attack they have at the source. Like, we keep the ball in their half. Our counter pressing is really good. We work with something called counter marking, where basically our center backs will mark the opponent's striker. So if the striker drops very deep, our center backs will push very high. And we just kept them in their own third for large spells. But we didn't score. So in terms of the result, we weren't happy. But the performance that we thought was just okay was actually really, really good second half. And that's something that video can give you. It can give you the opportunity to then look at the game and see, you know what, the emotional response I had on the day, like, okay, we didn't do this, we didn't do this, this wasn't good, can actually be, oh, you know what, we actually were good. Or if you, like, opposite way around, if you win a game 5-0 and you're really happy because you felt, oh, we won 5-0, we must have played well, and then you watch the video and, like, you haven't done the things that you wanted to do, for example. So it gives you, video analysis gives you a lot of tools to help evaluate your own performance as a team, and also to show players where they can improve and what they've done well, to help aid their development by giving them, as well as practical and auditive examples, we give them visual as well.
Yeah, that's That's a great oversight of or over what do you want to call it, just overview of video and the advantages it can bring to a coaching staff and to the players. And I remember specifically when I first started watching video, in college we would watch video, but this isn't really something I noticed until I started playing professionally in Sweden. Sometimes when you're in the game, you feel like things go so much differently than they do, you know. It's like, and part of that I think is like either you really like congratulate yourself for a piece of play that you think was really good, or you like are really harsh on yourself for something that went wrong, even in the game, you know. And it's like that's not the best way to go about either of those situations, you know. And I learned that really quickly. But then when you see those instances back on film, a lot of the time they unfolded so much differently than you remember. It's either like you're like, oh yeah, I did so well like managing this ball and then finding a pass, and when you see it on film, it's like nothing special. Or vice versa, you're like, oh my gosh, I really messed the situation up, and then you see it back on film and it's like, oh no, that was a very difficult situation. That would have been amazing if I actually succeeded. So it's for that reason it's so good to look back on things and really get a like a fresh and actual like a factual perspective, because you know, seeing it with your own eyes, you can actually you know, you can tell exactly what happened. So yeah, that's great. So
like
that's
that, then you're basically on like on an individual level, right? Like how you as a player watches it, or like, because I can give you one example from when I played. Like I played in a team that really prioritized switching the play with like long passes out to the wings, and I loved to play that pass, and you know I did, like just getting the ball, dropping the shoulder, and then just basically hit it 40 yards out to a winger who could do something with it. And like that pass is very good if it's done well, but sometimes you just play that pass and then you put the winger in trouble because they have no one to play with, and because everyone's spread in a on a different side, for example, and like they might be outnumbered all of a sudden. But like I remember one game where I had like 5-6 really good switches in a game I came on second half, and then when I watched the video back, I was like, yeah, I mean, I made the pass. It was a good pass, but I could just have played it, you know, on the floor to the striker and just kept it centrally, for example. And we might have done something else. And that's something I think as an individual player, like when you watch video, as you said, like you might have a feeling that okay, I've done really well here. And then you just look at the video and you go, but actually, you know what? I could have done this better. I could have done this instead, and that might have been a better decision. And then you can, like on your own, like without a coach helping you here, like just you can learn off that information that the video gives you on your own.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, you know. Like, and that's the kind of like, I mean, it's great to do that, but it's also kind of naive to watch just like to like pay attention just to the moments like that you're involved. And that's something that I learned over the years, was I would still watch myself, but you know, I'd watch game film probably about 3 times, once to just watch the game without trying to notice anything special. Then I would take the next time I'd take notes on different times when I, you know, did something or what, or if I was out of position or in a good position or whatever. And then I would always watch a game and just try to watch myself off the ball and see what I was doing, because that's where you're going to learn quite a bit about how you are as a player. Like, are you checking your space? Are you aware of what's around you? How often are you checking your space? Are you like demanding the ball? What's your body language like when you see an opportunity? Are you really, you know, trying to like move the play along, or you know, just everything that goes into, especially being a central midfielder like we were. So yeah, I think watching, but that's one that I want to highlight, is watching yourself off the ball is kind of, you know, it doesn't, maybe it's not as exciting as watching yourself like in action, but it's incredibly important to learn, you know, when you can be more aggressive to get the ball, when you can be more aware of what's around you. And like I said, you know, checking what's around you and seeing where there might be an opportunity to switch play or where there might be an opportunity to press more aggressively. Everything that you do off the ball is just as important, sometimes more important. So that's something that I learned very quickly, or, you know, it took a little time, but that's something that became really important to learning myself as a player, was seeing what I was doing when I was not involved in the play.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. That's a good point, because if you just watch, as you said, like if you just watch the very technical examples of you doing things, that's normally what gets, like when people tag games, that's normally what you look at. But if you can bring it down and watch like also the events where you're not involved, you might learn from that. So like that's a really good point. I think at this point, like we're already on it, but in terms of our own experience of using video analysis to improve as individuals or as teams, like is there any good examples that you wanna highlight from your playing days or any like any do's and don'ts that you would like to focus on here before I go through some of mine?
Well, yours are gonna be more valuable, I would say, just because you have seen it from both sides. You've been the one that analyzed film. But one thing that I really enjoyed was when a coach would, you know, freeze it at a certain point and say, What do you all see here? And you know, you give, like, sometimes if you know what's coming, then you can analyze, you can say, okay, well, the right back's out of position or something. But it became like, if you are forced into like identifying what's wrong yourself, then it's so much more valuable. It's like, you know, it's just like learning in school. It's like, oh, the teacher might call on me, you know, it's like, I better be prepared. So yeah, just I love when the coaches do that. Like, does anybody see anything wrong here? Does anybody have anything to say? And sometimes you have to be harsh and, you know, like pick out your teammate and be like, yeah, this guy really messed up right here. Like, you know, that's how it was. And a lot of the times it's you, and you have to, you know, take that criticism as a player that's trying to get better and not be, you know, like defensive or whatever. Like, and that took me a little bit of time to figure out as well. It's like, it's tough to hear the truth sometimes. And but to leave it up to your players for a moment, at least until you come in and tell them exactly what you see and what you think went wrong, is I really enjoyed that, and it helped me think about the game in a new way as well.
Like as a teacher, I love that the pedagogical element of that the coach didn't just tell you what was wrong and what was right, that you were involved in the process of coming up with it. And I'm certain that the coach knew what he or she wanted to get out of that. But I mean, the big thing would probably be that the players feel involved in a way, that you involve everyone in the process, that, so to highlight that this is a team objective. It's not just me as a coach who decides everything here, but like we can evaluate stuff together, and that I think that creates some kind of connectedness as well, like, between players and coach, that you give the players the opportunity to, I mean, because if I watch a game and I watch a certain sequence and you watch the same, we might not see the same thing. So as a coach, I think it's important to have an open mind and actually allow players to comment, because sometimes players will see things and experience things that you as a coach can't. So in a game, I might see stuff from the sidelines, but my players will experience what I see, like, and they're being in, and they are in the midst of it. And that's the same with video then, because then I might see something, okay, I want us to look at this, but then you as a player might go, but I see this thing, and then I'll be like, yeah, you know what, that's right. And then we have to have an open mind and create a discussion basically around it, and I think that's a good point as well, and a very good pedagogical example of how you can use video to involve people, but also learn from each other. And if we're gonna look at some negatives with using video that I've experienced, I've been in meetings where we watch like the highlights of a game, like. It's not really analysis. We just watch the highlights of how a game panned out, and I mean that can be fun and well and everything, but it's not really. But like when I come to training, I'm expecting an analysis session of our game. and we just watch all the shots, and there's no analysis of like how we got to those chances. We just watch them basically, and we sit there for 10 minutes watching a few clips without any commentary from coaches. I think that's a waste of time, and I think you lose the players' interest like quite quickly, because everyone will have seen the highlights anyway, and that's something I think we should stay away from. I think when we use video, we should have a clear system in place for how we go about using it. Otherwise, I think it can be quite wasteful with that time, because you don't have, like at most levels, you don't have a lot of time with your players, and I mean, you can use video sessions to create some kind of a fun atmosphere, obviously, and then it might be fun to just watch the clips, some clips, and laugh at people messing up or laugh at people doing well, and I mean that can create some kind of bond within the team. But in terms of analysis purposes, I think it's important to actually use the time you have with a clear purpose. And another thing I'd like to mention is that when you do analysis, if you haven't had the opportunity to create clips for what you want to show the players, I think it's important to be very organized in terms of, like, say you have a full game and then you just have timestamps of what you want to show, that you're on point with those timestamps, so you don't sit there and go, okay, I have a clip here at 20 minutes 15 seconds, and then when you go to 20 minutes 15 seconds and you have all your players sitting there to watch and they're waiting for you to show them something, and you get to 20 minutes 15 seconds and the clip that you want to show isn't there because you messed up the timestamps, and then you sit there in front of all your players, and then you frantically go about, okay, I think it's this. Where is it? It should be here. It should be here. And then the players will start, first of all, losing focus. Second of all, they will probably start laughing. And if you get the clip, they might not pay as much attention as if you're organized and you have everything together. I think those two are clear don'ts of how you should use video analysis. And I'll go into how we do it at Sylvia now, and it's very different. And I think I think we have a good system in place, but just wanna check if there's anything that you would like to add to your own experiences or anything that I've missed out on.
No, that's a great pro tip, actually, to keep track on either the clock, the game clock that's playing on, you know, or the actual video clock, because I've made a lot of highlight videos for teammates of mine over the years and for myself, and I always did that, man. It's such a pain to like try to, you know, I'd watch the thing through and fast forward and mark down when I should cut the video and make a highlight, and then I would always do that. I'd be like, wait, where is it? You know, I was like, oh my god, it's either like 2 minutes ahead or 2 minutes behind, just because I would never stick to one or the other. So that's a great pro tip to to tell people about.
That's good. If I go into how we use it now, I mean, there's no exact science, but I like the setup we use, and this is not something I've come up with. It's the system they had in place when I joined. So I'm not going to take any credit here, and I'm not trying to make out that I am some kind of video analysis guru here. But this is just how we use it. At Sylvia, we train a normal week if we play Saturday, and then the following week will be that we train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and then we play usually again Saturday. So we will have four sessions a week, and then we would use video before three of them in a normal week. And then those video sessions, and this is not something we've touched on, but I think it's important, those sessions are never more than 10 minutes. Like if they are more than 10 minutes, then we might stretch to 15, but 10 is normally the limit that we like, the time limit that we use, because I think that's something we didn't discuss on our own experience. But when video analysis meetings go too long, I think you lose interest, and you lose concentration, because it's just a video and someone's talking, and most people have very short attention spans, and especially I think footballers who are very practically inclined, they want to go out, get on the pitch and do stuff, and rather than just sit around talking about them or watching them. So time limits are good. 10 minutes I think is a good time limit. That's something I mean, sometimes I see players losing interest even in our meetings, but 10 minutes is something that we should be able to be stay focused at as players, I think. So we would have on the Monday, we would do 10 minutes basically evaluating the game at the weekend. So we would have prepared clips of stuff that we felt this is good. Here we look at and we tie it back to the game. So we had might have a plan how we wanted to play through midfield, for example. And then we will have a few clips on situations where we did that well, and highlight those with different analysis tools where we can just, you know, highlight players in the video. We can highlight zones. We can show how we're positioned on different lines to make it even more visually comprehensible. If that makes sense. So it's rather than just having a screen with the game, you like you say, we want to highlight your positioning. We would just look at Eddie here, and then we will highlight you with a circle or something. Look how he positions between the two strikers and the midfielders, so we can break that line when we pass through or whatever. So we would do that, look at some good examples, and then we would look at a few things that we feel we could improve on. So for example, your positioning might be off, so we will highlight, okay, so we're in this position now, we spoke about this, that we wanted to get into this zone, so maybe we will then we can use some arrows or whatever and just move you on the screen to show them that, okay, so this is not what we wanted to do. So for next time, we might move you. We want you to play in these areas. And then I think that's very easy to grasp as a player as well. It's very clear. And then we would basically end there, the first session of the week. So that would just basically be analyzing the game we had, lifting or airing a few examples of stuff we did well, stuff we should improve going forward. And then we might connect that to what we're going to do in training. Like, okay, so we didn't use our wide play was off today. We're going to work on the wide play tomorrow, and this is what we're going to do, for example. So we always tie it back to training and to our game model. Then we would go again on the based on what we do in training that week. Say normally we practice high pressing on the Tuesday, because that's when we have a full pitch. Then we would have a few clips on our upcoming opponents. So we say we play a team playing 4-3-3, we would look at how they try and play out from the back, and then how we're going to press them. So we will have two or three clips where we show how their opponent tries to play, and then we will edit the video to put our players in the video clip against them. So okay, this is how they play, and then we just have we've edited the video, so we will put our formation into the clip, so it's very clear for the players, okay, so this is how they play, this is how we're going to play against it, and then we tell them what we're going to do in training, and we go out and practice that very thing. So that will be one session where we focus on how the opponent acts in attack and how we're going to play against it. So we always tie it back to our own way of playing. We don't just look at a team and like, okay, this is what they want to do, boom, boom, boom. We actually look at what they want to do and then how we're going to go about playing against them. And if we practice then, say, pressing against that 4-3-3, we film every session. So for the next day, when we have training again, we could show them a few clips of how we worked the other day, and then just connect it back to what we want to do at the Saturday coming up. So that would be session two. And then session three would normally be on the Friday, so the day before a game, and then we'll look at how the opposing team defends, like what formation do they use, where do they look to press, what triggers do they have. And then again, we edit the video so we can show the players how we are going to play against that team. So say we play a 4-4-2 team and we want to have our two center backs and maybe a defensive midfielder basically playing 2+1 against these two, so we would have the midfielder position behind the two strikers. We will edit that into the video to highlight how we can break that first line, for example. So again, I think it's a good way of connecting the analysis of the opponent to the way we're going to play, and that hopefully that will help the players to comprehend what, like, why we do the stuff in training we do, and then why we do as we do on game day. And then we might have a fourth session, video session, just before the game. So when we gather to play, we might look at a few clips, basically what we've done in the week in training. So as I said, we might practice high pressing on the Tuesday, and we'll have a few clips from there that we can show the players on the Saturday. That, okay, so this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to press them. Then we'll show clip from maybe an attacking session of how we want to create chances against them. This is what we're going to do with the ball. And then we might have some slides, like the ones I put on the blog when we do tactical breakdowns of games, like from PowerPoint, whatever, just to visually show them how we want them to, which zones we want them to occupy in the game, and how we want them to press and stuff. So there might be four sessions, but normally just three. And those three sessions then in total time, they will take around 30 minutes, but we'll have had three sessions. We will have watched clips from training, from our previous game, and our upcoming opponents, and hopefully, or like, we feel that we prepare the players well for the game coming up. And that's like that entire system, I feel, is quite holistic. And we look at our own performances and our opponents, our upcoming opponents, in a way that I feel help the players go out on the weekend and perform and get us results. So that's how we use it. And I mean, there's no exact science on what's right or what's wrong, but that's just our way of doing it. Any immediate thoughts from you on that system?
No, I love it. I wish that had been around more when I was younger, and that's the direction that a lot of teams are taking in the U.S. There's a ton of these companies now that are film equipment companies that you sign up for, or you buy the product, and it's a camera that elevates above a field, and then these little chips that you give to the players that they put in their sock or whatever, and the equipment, the camera will follow the chips around. And I think you can have like an entire team chipped up, and the camera will film everything and then chop up the video for each player. So it is definitely moving in that direction in youth sports, or in youth soccer in the US, which is great. Yeah. I hope it's not all just for, you know, making highlight videos or whatever. I hope some coaches out there are actually, you know, doing what you're describing and really explaining to the players in a very holistic way, like why something is working, why something is not working, and what, you know, like tactics, how they shift from game to game. But it's great. It's definitely a must for teams that are trying to compete at high levels. And I miss video sessions, honestly, because there are those moments where you see something that you see something funny, you see like some interaction that's funny, like, and it's great. It's great to relive the game and take in those cringy moments where you made a mistake and celebrate the moments that you did something great. And a lot of nostalgic feelings came back to me as I was listening to you talk. So that's beautiful. And I hope more coaches do adopt that methodology, because, like I said, it's completely necessary.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, there's a financial aspect to it. Like the camera we use, it's a company called Speedio, and they, like, we have a camera on the, what do you say, the long side, and then we have two on behind each goal. So we would we have the opportunity of showing video clips from, like, basically we have an overview of the entire pitch, but we can also look from behind the goal. So say we have a set piece, we can watch that from behind the goal, which is obviously a lot better than just watching it from the side. And we can look at, like, if we concede a goal from across, we can just look at our positioning from behind the goal, where it's clear to see which zones we didn't occupy, for example, or which duels we could have done better in, for example. So, I mean, when I was at Boden, we had a guy standing in the stands with a handheld camera at times filming games. So for the academy team. So it's not like everyone has access to the kind of software that I have now. But I mean, if you, as long as you can just show people anything that gives them a some kind of a visual understanding of the game they've played or the session they've done or whatever, then that's fine. You don't need these massive, like, drone the drone videos that, like, the top clubs have, where they have this massive screen on the side of the pitch where they can watch and analyze training, like, in real time. I mean, that's probably fantastic, like a fantastic tool to use for the top teams. But I mean, it's not, you don't need that to do good analysis and using video in good ways. As long as you can film the game, I mean, that's it. Like, you don't even need these cool editing softwares. As long as you can film the game and then show the players what you want to show them, so they can help, so just to help them develop as individuals and as a collective, as a team. I think that's, there are so many benefits of using video to help improve yourself as a coach as well. You can watch your sessions back and see what you could have done differently. So only positives with using video in my experience, if you use it well.
100%. Even though you would have a field day with all that, with that drone stuff, and I'm afraid what might happen if you ever got your hands on some of that stuff. I don't think you'd ever leave the pitch, but yeah, no, like you said, you don't need all that stuff. You just need to film, and a little bit of elevation would definitely helps. You gotta film from, like, you know, just,
yeah,
like, you know, 10 feet high or something. It doesn't matter, just so you can get a little bit elevated view of the pitch. But anyway, yeah, geez, man, that's that makes me want to go. No, and oh, last thing, small thing, similar topic, but also a little bit different. I use film for my players here in Seattle for developing their technique. So not team film, but just like the slow-mo film that most iPhones and modern smartphones have, like, you know, just for like passing technique, shooting technique. I'll take video and have it slowed down. That's such a useful tool to see things in slow motion for how players strike the ball and pass the ball and all those things. So anyway, side note, but also, yeah, video relevant. Good. So
yeah,
yeah, but that's I hope some coaches take a lot of insight from this episode, and I know I did. I mean, it's always great to hear you talk about stuff like that you know so much about. And yeah, a little bit different from some of the other tactical and player specific episodes we've done, but very useful. And we gotta put it out there for coaches who need those resources and that knowledge when it comes to using video to the best of its potential.
Yeah, I think it's good. So hopefully people will take something from this, and then we'll see what we come up with for next time.
That's exactly right. But yeah, in the meantime, hopefully you guys will get out and watch some of the international football that's happening now and in the weekends to come. So back to the Premier League and Italy and all the leagues that we talk about on here. And don't forget to check out the blog, Running the Show Running the Show blog, .wordpress.com. A lot of tactical pieces and some video coming soon as well. I know I've been saying that for months now, but it's finally happening. I've been telling
God, it's about time, man. It's about time.
I know, but it's coming. So anyway, some good stuff to look out for, and thanks for tuning in. We will see you again very soon. So good. Have a good day over there, David, and good night for me. And thanks again for tuning in, everybody. Good night.